Hi, everybody. Robbie here. Reminder that there will be no new episode next week on Christmas Day. We'll be back in the new year on January 1st. On to the holiday mailbag. Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning, sort of. Today's a little different, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. Matt, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I am ready to answer all of your questions about the impending lawsuit.
What impending lawsuit?
Oh, is this not... Never mind, just kidding.
Okay, good, good. Don't ask people. Don't ask questions if you don't want answers.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This week's episode is a mailbag episode. We are going to be taking a short break over the holidays. I'll be traveling, and it'll be quite difficult to record with Matt, even though I will be seeing him in person. But I figured we could fill in. We haven't done one of these yet, so I figured I might as well do one. Maybe we can start a, you know, I don't know.
A holiday tradition.
I don't know about a holiday tradition. I don't know how many questions we're going to get in the intervening year are going to pop up, but we can certainly
fill in the vein of system mastery. We can always ask people to ask us, send us questions for other people that we will then attempt to answer.
Oh, that's actually pretty good. Or we just do my
right. It's a good bit.
Or my brother and me, and just give bad advice. So we are just going to be answering. I solicited questions on our social media. Got a whole bunch of good ones, and some dumb ones that I think are funny. So I'm still using them. I think they're purposely dumb, so thank you for that as well. Thank you, everyone, for submitting questions. Gives us stuff to talk about. So we're just going to dive right in. I try to alternate the types of questions. We got mostly Simpsons, some non-Simpsons-related questions. So we'll see how it goes. First from Elliot. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof. P.S. Do you know Mad Max? I like that. That's
a good question. And to answer your question, yes, Die Hard does know Mad Max. They go dune bugging occasionally. And when it comes to tyrants and terrorists, they like to drown them. That's their favorite method of execution.
Well, there's no water in Mad Max.
There is. There's the giant. He pulls the thing and the water just...
Oh, but you don't want to drown people in it. You got to drink it.
You got to drink it. That's true. So you fill a bath, you drown them into the bath, and then you dispose of that water.
That's a waste.
Use it to water crops. That way it has extra nutrients in it.
I still think that's a waste. Okay, so our first real question from Kevin. What was the moment that made you into the Simpsons fan that you are today? So, Matt, what is it? What was the moment? Can you pinpoint a moment?
There wasn't really a moment. There was more of a time, and that was 6 and 6:30 p.m., pretty much from when I was in middle school through high school. That is when the reruns of The Simpsons happened, and that was back before computers got big. Like, we first got a computer that had back in the internet when I was in high school. So in middle school, I would pretty much just come home and either read Star Wars novels or watch The Simpsons, and that's how I learned to appreciate cynicism, which, you know, as a 13-year-old, is very, very important form of political discourse.
Yeah, I don't think I could pinpoint an exact moment. I think I've said on the podcast before that I can remember watching certain episodes live. Like, I remember watching Separate Vocations live. I think, like, right about that time, probably second season, I was watching all of them live. I can remember watching the show every single night when it came out. So it was throughout my childhood and, yes, syndication. I remember in sixth grade in particular, I had a friend, and he was the only person I knew in real life that also watched The Simpsons. I went to a Christian school, so I'm certain that some of the people probably did not let their kids watch it at all. But my parents did not care. And I remember trading floppy disks of WAV files back and forth of Homer making noises and then using them on my computer and having dial-up sounds be replaced by Homer or whatever.
I think that was a special time in your life when you could customize your computer so heavily.
Yes. And then I don't know about how my parents felt about that. I probably was using a computer more than anyone, so it didn't really matter. But yeah, it was... That was sixth grade was when I actually started realizing what was actually like the depths of the show. I think I was watching it before, but I don't think I got a lot of the stuff. I just liked it. like I liked the wackiness and the adventure, and it was something I could watch with my family. But probably right middle school, same time, and yes, syndication, of course.
Yeah, I feel like middle school is a good time because that's when in like English class they are forcing you to start to read books, and occasionally you'd catch an allusion to a book you had read and been like, wait, are there more of those? And that's when you realize that The Simpsons, especially the first 10 seasons or so, are really working on a deeper level than you actually realized.
So thank you, Kevin, for that question. Next up is Victor. This is a very pertinent to just to specific Simpsons question. His question, I hope someone can answer this for me because it's always stumped me. In the 138th episode, Spectacular, they make the joke that Marvin Monroe and Bleeding Gums weren't the popular characters who happened to have died. My question is, when did Marvin Monroe die? I've watched the old episodes numerous times and I've never seen it mentioned. Am I missing it every time, or is it not mentioned? Thanks for the great podcast. He didn't die. I mean, he died because they said he did.
Happened in an episode.
No, they never showed him. I think it was the writers just joking around and going like, we want to have a factoid about dead characters and we can only think of
who haven't we used in a long time.
Yeah, and they're like, well, Marvin Monroe has not appeared since season one or two, so he's dead now, but he is actually back alive. He's alive in the show again.
So that question is doubly accurate now that he's no longer dead.
He's no longer dead. I believe Marge even asks him, I thought you were dead. He's like, no, I was just really sick. And he's fine now. Although he's still never in the show, so it doesn't matter. He might as well.
That's the great thing about animation. You can always just bring somebody back. I thought you were dead. I got over it. It's like comic books.
Yeah, it is like comic books in a lot of ways. Next question is Chris. Very simple. How did you two meet? I went to high school with Matt's wife.
Indeed.
And then I remember the exact first moment I saw Matt when you two.
It was your birthday party in Daytona, wasn't it?
It was my birthday party at the beach. And I was super drunk because we had rented out a condo.
I'm surprised you remember that night. Didn't you fall asleep on the beach?
I did fall asleep on the beach. It was late at night. I was honestly surprised that you guys even showed up. I was super drunk, so it didn't make my, it was like a vague, like, I'm like, whoa, Melissa's here. And whoa, that dude's like gigantic. Like he's like a million feet tall. I'm like, but that was basically like the only impression I got. Cause I was one super drunk and we didn't really, I think you guys only stayed for an hour or two and then left again.
We did actually. We were planning to stay at a friend's house, but he forgot the keys to his parents' house. So we then drove back to our house, it was a little hour and a half away. So we got home at like 6 a.m. Fun times.
I was going to say, it was really late, I think, when you showed up. It was already, maybe not midnight yet, but close to it. I was well past. I remember going down to the beach with a bunch of people in the middle of the night, falling asleep on the beach, then waking up and coming back up to the condo. That was a fun time. It was a fun birthday party. That's it. Then Matt and Melissa eventually moved back to Orlando, and then we had people to hang out and play board games with.
That's true. Board games bring everyone together.
And Matt is the other. I have other friends who are also Simpsons fans, but I can only think of one person who knew more than me. So I made sure to rope him into co-hosting my podcast and giving him.
That's true. He actually implanted a chip in me. And when it comes time to record every week, it just starts shocking me until I struggle into the room and call him on Skype.
I just got to push the button. That's all it takes.
That's right.
Mitch's question, moving on, is, can you tell the difference between butter and I can't believe it's not butter? I can't.
I cannot either. To be honest, I have a hard time distinguishing between butter and margarine when it comes to oils. The best I can do is I can usually tell the difference between olive oil and butter, but any type of butter substitute,
they're flavored. They're like butter is probably better for you, but I can't tell the difference in the taste. I try and buy the butter with the oil in it so that you can the spreadable butter with oil instead of the margarine because margarine is actually pretty bad for you.
Surprisingly.
At least right now, it's pretty bad for you. Maybe they'll make super margarine that's good for you again.
Also, they are very different when it comes to baking. All forms of butter substitutes will have drastically different results when you bake. Certain things must be made with margarine, surprisingly. So just be careful. They are not one-to-one substitutes when it comes to baking things like cookies.
Just in case you guys were coming to us for your baking advice.
That's true. Or you wanted to bake us cookies.
I mean, I like chocolate chip. I'm a simple guy.
I like pretty much all cookies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to turn down a cookie. Mike's question for us. What is your favorite guest star based on their career, not their guest appearance?
Oh, man. There's been so many.
Yeah, that's the thing is, there's just the breadth of guest stars. Like, I'm trying to think. I probably won't get necessarily my true favorite, but I'll get one I definitely like a lot. I mean,
Personally, I'm a big fan of Elon Musk. He basically is the real life Tony Stark, and it's entirely possible that one day he will turn out to be a crazy madman. But up until this point, he seems intent on making the Earth a better place through technology, which is something I'm big on. I would actually say Phil Hartman is my favorite, but I don't think he can be considered a guest star. He's more like part of the cast.
I think he's listed as a guest star often, but we generally consider him an actual.
Yeah, and it said Marshall Wallace wasn't part of the cast either. So.
Yeah, they might as well be. They're fine. Oh man, that's a really hard question. I'm looking at a long list of.
It's going to take you the next 5 minutes just to read the list.
It's off the top. We just did the episode in Bart the Fink. I'll say Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart's comedy is uniquely compatible with The Simpsons.
Yeah. He's a very small appearance in Bart the Fink. But I have fond memories of watching all his various other sitcoms in my youth on Nick at Night and Nick at Night 2 or whatever these other one of those various associated channels. There's others, I'm sure. Like, if I looked down the list of all the guest stars over the years, but I can wholeheartedly suggest watching all of the Bob Newhart Show and Newhart. Those shows are really tremendous. And I went back and listened to his old stand-up albums. They're really weird and fun and strange that
they're kind of out there.
So successful in that time period when he recorded them, like in the 60s and earlier. Chris asks us, favorite and least favorite Simpsons video games?
Ooh, I'm actually going to say, in terms of worst, I'm actually not a great fan of, I think it was Bart versus the Space Mutants for the Sega Genesis, because I played that when I was like, oh God, that was probably fifth grade. So I was probably like 10 or 11. And I got to the end of the first level and couldn't figure out how to finish it because you skateboard to the end as Bart and there's just like something blocking the right side. I'm sure there was something in the level you're supposed to do to finish out the level, but it just stopped right there. So I never got past the first level and I'm still mad about it.
I mean, I can't recall, like, I know Bart, there's like four or five different Simpsons, just simple platformers that came out for NES, Game Boy, SNES, Sega Genesis. All of them are pretty bad. Like, they're not like they're cool. Like, I go back and look at them because they have Simpsons stuff all in them, so they're neat in that way, but they're not good games. Like, they're ridiculously hard for no reason. You know, they're not really fun. I liked Virtual Bart a lot as a child. I go back and look at it and it's generally not very good. Some of the it has the best wrapper of at least of that era of games, of like having like interesting like things they did with the characters. Like, there's a weird Mad Max game with Bart in it. There's also what else is there? There's a bunch of, you play one level's your baby Bart, you have to jump around. But my favorite game is probably just the Simpsons game, the newest one. I want to say, I think it's the newest one. I know there's
the one that came out for like every console made in the last
360 and GameCube and PS3 and PS2, I think it came out for both. That's, I think a lot of people say Hit Run. I think I like Simpsons game more. It felt like if you're going to make a game about the Simpsons, having a game that makes fun of other games, much in the way that the show is kind of parodied television and film, I think that's the way you do it. And I think it's actually clever in a lot of ways. But I don't know. Is your favorite Tapped Out, Matt?
No, I gave up Tapped Out. It's just, it's too much maintenance.
They should just call it Maintenance the Game. That's what Tapped Out is.
It's true. It was fun at first to see all the Simpsons stuff, you know, and build your own little town. But once you have a town built the way you want, that's, and you've basically earned everything that you really want, there's not a whole lot left to do. I have not played the Simpsons game. It looks like a lot of fun, but of all the games that I have played, I would probably say the Simpsons arcade game. It's very simple, but if you can get four people together, especially on an old arcade machine, if you have a arcade slash bar somewhere in your neighborhood, we have one here in Orlando that has a Simpsons arcade machine, and it's a lot of fun.
I don't like the arcade game.
Really?
You're right in that it is fun if you get four people playing together, but most games are fun if you can get four people playing together. If you're playing something That's with true. Your friends, it can make anything kind of fun. It's just, I like that format, like the four-person brawler, like the X-Men did it as well, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles also had a game mm-hmm. like that. Those are fun, but I just wish it was made sense. Like, the plot of the game makes no sense.
Oh,
like,
that's just silly, asking video games to make sense.
I don't know. It just, that's the Simpsons, like, fanatic in me, like, picking at it. It's like, come on, just give me a plot that is, like, have characters that are actually in the show and have them, like, all the NPCs you're fighting are just, like, all the villains are just, like, nobodies. Like, give me, like, people who are, like, if I'm going to be, why is Mr. Burns after this thing? And, like, there's just, it's all nonsensical. You fight a clown at some point. I don't remember all that stuff. But finding a working one of those cabinets is the truest test, because almost every single one has, like, one of the players, like, the buttons are doesn't work. So you have to have only three people can play, or. I appreciate it.
Or the TV looks weird, and the CRT is awful.
They haven't replaced the CRT. Come on, people. Maintain your arcade cabinets. Come on. I know it costs hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, but come on. Fix it. I know all those arcades do really well, right? They make so much money.
Yeah, totally.
That's why they're not...
Yeah, on alcohol sales, maybe.
Yes, exactly. The ones that sell booze. Let's see. Jeffrey's question. If you could bring one character back to the show, who would it be? And one-time appearances included.
Man. Well, I think we know what your answer is. Dude, that's pretty obvious.
Nah, I don't know. You don't know. What's your answer? I may surprise you.
This is going to sound really stupid, but I want to see Roy back for an episode. Like, the whole episode was basically about this essentially stock character that you don't actually see anything happen to. And I just want to see him back in a what's a nice way to say this? A actual developed role rather than just as kind of a stupid one-off. Poochie, too, for that matter.
Roy and Poochie is your answer, Matt?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. My answer is Mr. Bergstrom, I think, actually.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one. Ugh.
And I'd say only one time, again, now I don't want him reoccurring. I don't want him to be a new teacher. Like, I want him to come back to the show one time for one another appearance. And do another episode with Lisa, and maybe have nothing about reaffirming Lisa or anything like that. I think that first episode did a perfect job at it. I feel like it should just do something with that relationship. I think there's a lot of territory there you can mine. I think it'd be really good.
That is definitely true. Mr. Bergstrom was one of those characters.
I was gonna say Dustin Hoffman's not getting any younger. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to bring him back, now's the time.
I don't think they're going to, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. They do it sometimes, so it's hard to say. Next question. Have you guys listened to any other Simpsons podcasts to see their takes on things and their opinions? If so, which ones? Have you, Matt?
The only one I've listened to is Ali Gertz's, which is good. I enjoy the... I have a very long list of podcasts I listen to, so it didn't make my every week cut, but every once in a while I dip in, and it's usually pretty good. That's the only other one that I've listened to more than once.
Yeah, Everything's Coming Up podcast is the name of that one. That is also the only other one I've listened to, and I, much like Matt, I kind of dip in and out. I try it. Nothing against any other Simpsons-related podcasters. I just, until recently had way too many podcasts that I would try and listen to, and probably, you know, I would miss some from time to time, even the ones I really like a lot. And I kind of want my opinions on The Simpsons to be my own. Like, not...
It's true, because doing a podcast like this, you don't want to be influenced by other people as much as that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, like, everyone's opinions about everything are kind of shaped by everything they absorb, but I don't want to inadvertently crib from other people. I digest a lot of Simpsons week in, week out. Both Matt and I both do because of doing this show. And me in particular, handling all the social media, I see a lot of Simpsons-related things every single week. And listening to more Simpsons podcasts on top of it, it just would inundate me. Like, I don't, that was the part of the problem of doing two episodes a week was like, I was getting burnt out, and I don't want that to happen. I want to stay excited about The Simpsons. So I try and, you know, keep it to things I'm excited about. Like, when I share something on our social media about The Simpsons, I want it to be something truly exciting and interesting. I see a lot of things pop up every single day that are just like tangentially related. I'm like, whatever. If you're a diehard, you've seen a lot of this stuff before. You don't need to read it again. But I know a lot of people, and all of our listeners listen to a lot of the other Simpsons podcasts, but nothing against them. Just no time, and when I rank the episodes, I want it because of the reasons I have and you have, not because of what someone else has said along the line.
That's true. If Robbie listened to any other Simpsons podcast, it would probably put him over 40 hours a week doing Simpsons-related things, and that might kill him.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I try and vary my interests a little bit. But thank you, Nick. I think we got a couple questions. There's some questions got repeats, so if you ask a similar question, you know, I try not to double up on any of them. Next is Robbie. Good name. Again, Robbie. He has non-Simpsons related questions, which I really appreciate. We'll start with yours, Matt. His question for you is top five favorite shows beside The Simpsons all time and top five that are current.
That are current. Okay.
So five and five.
Top five of all time.
Yeah.
All right.
Not The Simpsons.
I'm going to go with Futurama, Rick and Morty. Let's see, probably say Firefly. It's what I still pull out and watch from time to time. That gets me three, right?
That was three already, so you need two more.
Right, two more. Oh, what do I still watch from time to time? Obviously, That 70s Show and Scrubs. I generally still, I have watched every one of the episodes of That 70s Show at least four times and Scrubs at least twice.
Okay, so current, top five current.
Oh, God, current shows are hard. Well, I don't really watch that much current TV.
Are you going to... Well, Rick and Morty's current.
That's true. Rick and Morty is current. Definitely watch that. What are we currently watching? I'm really enjoying Westworld. That is fantastic. People don't really seem to consider it sci-fi that much, but I definitely do.
No, it's sci-fi. It's definitely science fiction, more than anything, okay. I would say.
All right, give me just a second.
Oh, we got to pull up a Wikipedia article of current television shows?
No. I got to check my TV schedule.
Oh,
my
right.
Schedule, as it were.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see. Technically, American Dad is still current, and I really like that. I actually look down upon Family Guy, but really enjoy American Dad. It's like Family Guy, but, you know, more interesting. Let's see, what else? Oh, Steven Universe is fantastic. Rick and Morty is kind of seen as an adult cartoon. Steven Universe is more all ages, but it's really, really good. It's very interesting, and it's definitely has something there for people of all ages. It's not just for kids. There are a lot of messages involved that aren't apparent at first, but when you stop and think about them, it hits you on another level, not as obviously or cynically as The Simpsons does, but enough to make you think and put a smile on your face. How many am I at, Sue?
I think that was five.
That was five? Okay, good.
I think so. You said Rick and Morty, Westworld, Steven Universe, American Dad, and you say any others? You're missing one, then. That's four.
I'm missing one, then. Star Wars Rebels is great. If you are a Star Wars fan, especially of the new canon, it is great. It is written by people who really love Star Wars and is, again, surprisingly, I don't want to say deep, but complex for an animated show.
His question for me is top five wrestlers of all time and top five today. That is a really hard question. I'm gonna take that as not necessarily my favorites, but I don't know. I'll probably blend the answer with favorite and best. But all time, I'll go Shawn Michaels, Randy Savage, Ric Flair, Sting, and that's four.
Come on, it's not Hollywood Hulk Hogan. That's not on your top five.
Hogan's like bottom five. I don't like Hogan.
Sounds about right. What about Sergeant Slaughter?
I've met him, but no, he's not.
No, okay.
No. Punk. CM Punk.
What? Okay.
CM Punk is now technically a retired. Combos. He's technically a retired wrestler now. So Punk's not. He rounds out my top five.
His Drax series is surprisingly good.
His what series?
I believe he is writing Drax with.
Drax, the comic book. Great.
Yes.
Top five today is AJ Styles. I think it's undoubted he's the best wrestler on the earth right now. Dean Ambrose. I love Dean Ambrose. I wish, his actual wrestling has been, you know, people criticize it because it's kind of looks weak. He has weak offense. His punches don't look great, but his character work makes up for anything. I think he's the best promo of anyone in the WWE right now, if they actually let him just be as crazy as he was in the indies. That's two. I'm trying to spread it around, but you know, I only watch so much of wrestling.
As much as you talk about Nakamura, I figured he'd easily be in your top five.
I would say probably, yeah. Nakamura makes it. He hasn't had a bunch of like amazing matches, but I think that's more just because of where he is at NXT right now. He doesn't have a lot of great people to wrestle. So Shinsuke Nakamura, I would put. That's three. This is tough.
It really is, especially modern stuff.
It's hard. Probably Bray. I like Bray Wyatt, despite all the how bad they've handled him over the years. I still really like Bray Wyatt, and I'll say Bayley to round it out. I really like. Aww. I like Bayley a lot. Include a woman, a female wrestler in there too.
I was sad we didn't get to see her last week.
She's not doing a lot right now, which is a shame, but I feel like she has, as a character, the most potential of pretty much any wrestler in the WWE. I don't have a lot. Like, if you want to look at indies and stuff, I could list other people that I just haven't seen enough of them, probably, to really get a good opinion on some of the guys. I don't watch a lot of New Japan. I know New Japan has a bunch of great wrestlers, but we're going to limit wrestling talk on this to just this, I think. But thank you for the question, Robbie. Next up is Amy. Her question, in general, which Simpsons family member has the best episodes that focus on them? For example, do you prefer Lisa-centered episodes to a Homer-centered episode?
Matt? That's a tough one, mainly because Homer-centered episodes are so widely varying in quality. Some will be amazing. Mother Simpson comes to mind as just being ridiculously good. It's not a super Homer focused episode, but
I mean, you could say like Homer's Enemy or there's so many episodes that have Homer in them. I mean, that just gives you there's a lot more Homer episodes than anyone else. Homer is
definitely true.
I wouldn't be surprised if Homer probably outpaces the other three members combined.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Bart probably is second, I would imagine, then Lisa, and then finally Marge. I tend to like Lisa episodes more, but they also tend to not necessarily always be great. I think a lot of, especially after the classic years, like they're hit and miss, even more than the Homers. Like Homer episodes are easier in a certain way, I think, because you can just rely on the physical humor and the dumb jokes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa episodes are, you know, harder because she's not a slapstick character most of the time. She's smarter, and so
you got to make Lisa think.
Yeah, and it's harder to structure a comedy show around that. So, but Lisa is my favorite character of the main family. So I generally like her. I don't know. My favorite episode. We'll actually have a question about that later on. But is Homer's Enemy probably, and that it is a theory. About Homer, but is more about the show. Like, I think my favorite episodes, even greater than focusing on a specific character, are more about what the episode is centered. Like, Bart sells his soul. Like, it's a Bart episode, but I like it even more because it is about, like, it is confronting all those issues we talked about in that episode.
It's true. It's hard, like you said, to nail episodes down to one character, because even if they're about one character, they can often vary wildly in what they're essentially about. I really enjoy Marge episodes because they oftentimes feel like it's basically testing Marge. Marge is usually challenged by something outside of her control, and Marge episodes tend to be about her reacting to something like that and basically showing what a strong moral character she is. Oftentimes those morals aren't the same as the morals that I have, but I appreciate her willingness most of the time to at least listen and provide civil discourse. Lisa the Skeptic is a good example of this. Her and Lisa obviously do not agree about angels, but Marge is more than willing to talk to Lisa about it and not just completely shut her out.
So. Yeah, it's not. It seems like a simple answer, but it's not necessarily. It is complicating the fact that all the characters are so different that they often the combinations of things they try and they tackle are like the things that are sometimes the most interesting to me. When Bart tackles like a meaty thing like religion and souls, like that's really fun to me. When Lisa has to I think in Homer, when H-O-M-R, when she and Homer bond because Homer's suddenly intelligent, it's not necessarily like every Lisa episode is a winner to me, but I just, it's like the combination of things, I guess, puzzles, pieces fit the right way. Let's see. Sean's question. What is the one joke you never really got or understood until much later?
Oh man, there are so many literature jokes that just flew right past me. I want to say it was Secrets of a Successful Marriage. No, it wasn't that one. It was War of the Simpsons, the whole Virginia Woolf bit, and how Homer remembered the party. Did not get that at all. I'm like, this is the weirdest callback. It was Family Guy-esque before there was Family Guy, when I didn't realize that it was actually spoofing something.
Yeah, there's a ton of the ones when I was a kid when I watched that I never understood. I think we're kind of tackling in our Patreon bonus episodes right now where we're watching movies that directly influenced episodes. And like Cape Fear, I saw that Simpsons episode way before I saw the movie. I saw, what's the name of the episode? I saw Rosebud.
Mm-hmm.
Well before I
know. A lot of those things about classic movies are like that.
Yeah, where like I saw all the Simpsons references to the Godfather or Goodfellas well before I ever saw those movies, because I could watch the Simpsons when I was 8. My parents would not let me watch the Godfather or Goodfellas when I was 8 years old. So I didn't understand what was happening. And then when I come back later and watch those films, I go, oh, that's what that was referencing. And it was like, it gave me a whole new kind of layer of appreciation for all that stuff. But yeah, the there's so many. And
basically anything involving literature or classic movies, I did not get until probably college.
And even now, as we're rewatching again, like I think that's a joy I get every week when we rewatch and talk about these episodes is like, oh, that's what that was referring to. Like it's every time there's still like just more and more depth there, more layers that you can peel back.
Absolutely.
Justin's question. Do you think we will see another Simpsons movie made, or was it one and done? I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay. I want to preface this. I will, if The Simpsons could go on for another 10 years. I think enough time will pass that they'll be like, yeah, we can make some more money off of this. How long do you think it will be?
What? Until we see
assuming
the movie?
That they do make one.
The movie? It will be after the show is over. I think they'll, after the, whenever the
like
show
right
ends.
Right after?
Not right after.
Or like.
No, they'll wait a while probably and give it. I think they'll start working on it as soon as the show ends probably. I mean, unless they purposely make a movie as like a finale of sorts, like I could see that happening. But otherwise, I think the show will end, and then providing the cast members are still alive and are still willing to do it, and they can come up with good enough like idea for a movie. I think they'll probably revisit it. Often, I think there'll be nostalgia and demand for a Simpsons movie whenever it comes out, and it'll probably always do well because we are, you know, our generation and we're still going strong, and that nostalgia, the craving for that is still like powering a lot of like revenue for films and TV shows. So I think they'll make another one. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't, but I think if they didn't, it'd be solely because they couldn't get, you know, a good script, and or they couldn't get the cast members together.
Yeah, at this point, I think it's more the cast members. A couple of them seem to be, I'm not going to say raring to leave, but they're they're demanding more and more. At this point, I mean, some of the cast is starting to, I mean, most of them are now AARP members, or at least qualify, so I worry about that.
We have a question about that later on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yes, probably, I think, depending on variables. But I mean, I think they want to do one. I don't know if they'll get it done, but I think they want to. I think they've even mentioned that. Question from Izzy. What's the worst thing Homer has ever done? He's heard it so much, it's lost all meaning. He says in parentheses.
Yeah, man, he's done some really awful stuff.
Yeah, I think we had a listener question about this one time, but the framing of Marge of DUI, that was the worst thing for me. I mean,
yeah,
if you discount all the murder, which, I mean, the indirect murder that Homer has caused, I think the framing of the DUI is the worst thing, especially considering it's Marge, you know, it's his wife.
Really, he has to have done something worse than that.
That's really bad, man.
That's really bad, but it's Homer. I mean, I really can't think of anything worse off the top of my head, but if you gave me 5 minutes, I'd be like, maybe.
There's other things that are in the running. I'm not saying it's like, I'm just off the top of my head that goes, oh, that's awful. So that, you could also go like indirectly killing Maude Flanders or indirectly killing Frank Grimes. Like,
okay, to be fair, it's very indirect in the case of Frank Grimes. Maude Flanders, it's far more like, it's not direct, but it's like, man, that's like, I could put a ruler, a 12-inch ruler right there, and that's a connection.
Yeah, that's true. You have anything else?
I really can't. I mean, that is awful. Yeah, keep going. Ask the next question. I'm going to keep looking for one that's worse.
Is that what we're doing?
I mean, he stole an entire submarine once.
That's not
filled
bad.
With naval reserves.
It's the badness about it to me is the fact that he, you know, it's Marge. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he made the town trash situation so bad they had to move, you know, a few miles down the street. That's pretty bad.
I like that though. I like that is inept Homer to T. I like that.
It's true. Oh, also, he ran away from giving his father a kidney twice.
That is a good one.
That is also bad.
Those are bad. Yeah, give like things that could kill your father, and you just go, no, I'm gonna, I run. Let's see, from Robert at Barlow 2711. Which episode are you predicting will take over for Homer's Odyssey at the worst on our list? Debating if I should tip my hand, but I can give you a couple runners. I know ones that will be in the running for me. My least favorite episodes. Like, Kill the Alligator and Run.
Oh my god, I knew it! That episode is just trash.
It's so bad. Saddlesore Galactica?
Also, really? You think that's that bad?
Matt, do you want me to remind you what happens at the end of Saddlesore Galactica?
At the end?
The third act. Oof. They find elves, or whatever they are. They, like, literally
And they have to fight them. That's true. All right, fair enough.
There's that one.
Grift of the Magi, I thought, was a pretty bad one, too. Season 11 is really...
I like Grift of the Magi.
It's okay, but the ending, I feel like, is just dumb. And having, what's his name? Gary Coleman. It's just the weirdest guest starring role.
But it's weird. I think I appreciate it just because that episode is really strange. The Baldwins, the Baldwin and Kim Basinger, Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger episode.
Oh my god, yeah.
That one's pretty bad.
What season was that? Isn't that season 8?
No.
Or is it 9?
No, that's further on. The Mel Gibson episode. There's a lot of this, like, ones that have the Lady Gaga episode. Everyone throws that one out there as a bad one. That's way further on. I'm looking.
When You Dish Upon a Star, season 10, you're right.
I'm looking at stuff that's a little closer in our on the horizon. So 10, 11.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I really don't like. You know, it's hard to say they'll definitely, like, I make that joke every episode that something's going to definitely supplant it, because I do honestly think any of those episodes are probably worse, but, you know, as we're going through them and talking through it, who knows where they'll end up. But those are
Brawl in the Family, also very bad.
That time period is rough. Justin at Justin IFCIT. If you guys could write the series finale, how would you end the show? I think we had a listener question about this as well at some point.
I think we have, yeah.
I think I don't necessarily know precisely what I would do. I would definitely end it. I think that idea of them I think I end the show with them on the couch watching TV. That is the final shot. Like, I don't, I mean, I,
well, yeah,
I think you'd have, it'd have to be, I think you should do it, probably do a two-parter, and have it, make it, just make it everything, whatever the grand plot is, whatever the Simpsons are trying to overcome. I think it has to be about the family, and I think you have to kind of relate it to all of them and them overcoming that. I don't know.
Honestly, the more I think about the movie, I feel like that would have been a good series finale. Because it's Springfield and the world turning against the Simpsons, but through their love for each other, them overcoming and saving everything.
Yeah, and that, I think that is like a good prototype or whatever. If you, like, they've done that before, but I think that is an excellent. Like, I don't know how they're gonna, there's a lot of talk about how they'll end the show with them ending up going to a Christmas pageant. You know, how just how the show started.
Yeah,
but. I don't know that at this point, now that it's been thrown out there, I don't necessarily know if it'll work really well. So yeah, something tying the family together. I think that is essential above everything else. From Andrew at the Andrew blog, the trapdoor sequence in Last Traction Hero, which is this past week's or 2 weeks at this, the time of recording, let's see, 2 weeks by the time you hear this ago, new episode, felt like too much to me. While I've hardly enjoyed the Springfield Gorge fall, Homer sliding through the plane in an attempt to enter himself, and prior Mr. Burns trapdoor gags, which are ostensibly similar. Is there a legitimate difference between those classics and this new bit of slapstick, or am I just being biased against the newer episodes?
I'm pretty sure there's a pretty significant difference. The original Springfield Ravine is just Homer falling down and hitting himself on the rocks, essentially. The previous trapdoors, you don't really see what happens. You see where they end up, but you don't see, like, there's not a long sequence of what happens along the way, which I think is actually part of the joke in this case, because the new trapdoor, basically he's renovating the trapdoor to make it worse for his employees. And in this case, there's lots of extra weird stuff going on in the past. I mean, it's almost akin to when they pan through the earth when they're going to Australia in Bart versus Australia, and there's all those weird gags in between, except this time Homer's falling past it rather than you just panning the camera through it.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. There's a subtle difference in the kind of gag it is. I mean, it is more heavily based on, like, the background stuff you see flying by Homer as he falls. Also, I think about this a lot as we're watching those newer episodes and as I'm reading these old reviews of people every week, you know, from the news group of their reviews of what were new episodes then. And I think it's just, it's hard. Like, comedy, period, is based on surprise, on expectation versus payoff. You know, the punchline is almost always like a surprise.
I mean, that's comedy in general. Yeah,
exactly. And it is when you are so familiar with, I mean, when there's so many episodes of The Simpsons and you've seen these characters so many times do so many things, it is just harder to find things funny because you've seen them before. And it's not a fact of like, hey, The Simpsons are unoriginal. It's a fact of comedy relies on surprise. And it's like, that's what I like try and remind myself. Like, sometimes I go like, it's okay if I don't find it. I think it, like, it's hilarious. Like, if I don't laugh really hard at something, but I can still appreciate it for its craft and stuff like that. And, you know, and its ingenuity, but it's a product of, like, The Simpsons being around so much. It's not like, I very rarely watch a new episode and go, wow. We've talked about it before. Halloween of Horror from last season was the last new episode that really, like, knocked me off my feet because it was genuinely surprising to me. Like, it felt new and very, it's hard for The Simpsons to do that anymore because they've been around for so long. It's just,
yeah, it's something, like you said, you haven't really seen before. It's basically them taking an old gag and extending it a little bit, which is not the best way for it to have a you know, laugh out loud moment. But for The Simpsons, it's probably the most reliable at this point.
Yeah, which I think I'm okay with. Okay, so we got a few questions from Andy. What is your earliest Simpsons memory, and did your parents have any hesitation in letting you watch the show? I can say, like I mentioned earlier, I think Separate Vocations, I think that watching that is probably my earliest Simpsons memory. I think that's the episode where there's an act break where or something where Bart is about to get hit by the car and then it hits the side of the alleyway or something. Isn't that in Separate Vocations?
Oh,
when he goes,
yes,
he goes.
So with the, Bart finds out he wants to be a cop.
Yeah, he goes on the with the cops. And no, my parents have always been pretty. They were always pretty lenient about what they let me watch. Like they were pretty okay, he is a relatively smart kid. They knew what I could handle and what I couldn't. You know, they generally were pretty smart about what they let me watch and what they didn't. The Simpsons were never off limits. I think one of the reasons I like the show so much, because I see a lot of my parents in the show. Like, they are baby boomers, and you know, Marge and Homer are baby boomers, and I feel like a lot of the issues that the Simpsons were tackling, they themselves were tackling as parents. So I think they're certainly not like Simpsons fans or anything, but they watched it with me when I was a kid, so they didn't have any problem. Did your parents ever have any problems with it, Matt?
I think at first, like when the first Simpsons first came out, I wasn't really allowed to watch it, because when the Simpsons came out, I think I was like 6 or 7, and my parents had heard about it from someone else. And I mean, back then I didn't have a TV in my bedroom, so I watched what they watched. So it wasn't really a thing, but by the time it was in syndication, I had my own television. So they were just like, yeah, whatever, you can watch whatever you want. I mean, like I said, I never got to watch anything live, because when you only have one TV, the parents get to watch what the parents watch, and to hell with what the kid wants. But by the time, you know, it came to syndication, which I can't even remember the first few episodes I saw in syndication. There were so many of them, 2 a night for 5 days a week. My parents knew that I was, mature enough to handle it.
His next question, what goes into producing a podcast? And then we get to listen to an hour, but how much time do you put into it? We are already planning for the next episode after an episode. Whenever an episode airs on Sunday, generally Monday or Tuesday is when we start planning for the next one already. I put up the listener questions on Facebook and Twitter, usually Monday or Tuesday. And then Matt and I will create, either whoever watches the episode first will create a Google Doc, and we kind of just lay out our thoughts and what's happening in the episode, you know, break it down. I will fill in background material, kind of fill out the show notes for who wrote it, who directed it, all the stuff you can find on the Wikipedia entries. And then I watch it. I think I don't know. I know I just basically, I watch the episode, I record the audio for the entire first and third acts, and then go back and basically listen to the audio again and just cut clips I think will work for that episode. I don't know what you do, Matt. How do you just record the parts you like, you want to keep?
Basically when I go through and I watch the episode and I have the notes up in a browser window, and if I'm the first person, I'm obviously typing out the notes as I go. But when it comes time for clips, it's essentially I'll be watching the episode, and if something funny happens, I'll rewind it a few seconds, record that, and just save it out as a clip. Or if it's something, you know, important to the plot or just unusual, weirdness always wins for me when it comes to a clip.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a hard, fast rules for what I pull and what I don't. Obviously, physical humor doesn't really work a lot of times, so we don't pull that. But things that I try and pull things that are memorable, or pull things that kind of help us piece together the story as we're kind of recapping. Then I try and go through all my email and all those places to try and fit my favorite episode submissions, if we have any. I go to the newsgroup, type in the old dates, and look for a week or two after, as long as I also look at Simpsons Archive for what they have archived, because they sometimes catch things I miss. And I think the archive of the Google groups is missing things from time to time. I go to our listener question. I go through our Facebook, through our Twitter, through the emails, and kind of piece things, pull in questions. The answers I think are funny, are insightful, or, you know, whatever. Ones that catch my eye generally. You know, I don't really have also hard and fast rules for that. I just kind of grab ones that I think that I like, you know. What's after? Oh, I come up with trivia. I think I don't really have it. I don't think either of us have it kind of like, we just go like, oh, what am I thinking of about The Simpsons right now? And I go, okay, well,
I usually go through like the list of episodes on Wikipedia. I'm like, I like that episode. I'm going to ask some questions from that episode.
Yeah, I go, Mr. Burns is on my mind. I'll do questions about Mr. Burns or Smithers or Marge or Martin or whatever. We have basically the skeleton of the notes are laid out. We set up a time, we record. We record a little bit more, but after we're done, I generally try, we try and record a little bit, or like Thursdays are generally Thursdays or Fridays are mostly the days we record, Thursday, Friday night. I like to leave it maybe a day in between the time of recording and the time I start editing, because I like to come to it a little bit, you know, forgotten a little bit of it. So it's fresh to me. I'll run it through my usual sound cleaning stuff, and then I try and edit out things that I think are superfluous. I generally don't cut too much. Unless there's a lot of technical problems, or you know, there's a long sequence of something that is pointless, which happens. You know, sometimes we ramble and I don't want to include it, or a cat does something and I don't want to include that. But I don't know. My editing process is very much we try and make it clean the first time when we record it, and then it makes editing easier because I have less to do. Just trying to make it sound good and not have to worry about editing a lot of it for content as well. But I like less produced things in general in podcasts. I don't know. I know a lot of people love, like, I know NPR and all, and those like podcast networks have a big following for a reason, because they have really crisp, really tightly produced things that are like really intricate and stuff like that. But doing a weekly,
that's true, but they also have scripts and like, yeah, they record tons of clips and edit them all together that they sound nice. This is not that kind of podcast. No, sorry if you didn't know that, guys.
Yeah, we have a week in between episodes and there's just not enough time to do all that work and to keep up.
If we literally did like 26 episodes a year like they do, maybe we could do something along those lines. But yeah, this is more fun.
Not at a weekly pace. And so I clean up the episode. It generally takes me an hour or 2 hours, depending on how many mistakes we made and how many things I'm cutting. I re-listen to the episode and then have to, you know, skim through it and try and make things sound as good as I can, which is about what I get. You know, I can't ever, it's very rarely perfect because I just don't have time for it. And then I post it and then wait for whatever I messed up to come surface. And then I fix that sometimes, but yeah, that's it. I put our weekly effort into like just the podcast is like 5 to 6 hours for both, like combined between watching, editing, like all that. But that does not include all my work on social media and stuff like that, which is kind of like a background all the time during the week when I'm like replying to people and trying to post things. And if you email me or send me a message on Twitter or Facebook, I see it. I just don't always reply because it just takes up a lot of time to do all that stuff. I really do appreciate all the people who give me nice messages. Do your wives tolerate your obsession with The Simpsons? Yes.
Yes, that's why we're still married.
Yes, they're very my wife is very kind. It takes up a lot of time, and she is always absolutely generous and does not ever, you know, complain or I don't know, argue with me about the time I'm spending. There's a reason I married my wife. It's because she's the best. So I think Matt would say exactly the same thing about his wife. So that's, yes.
That's true. Although she doesn't worry about me spending all my time in this. She just has to listen to me complain about spending so much time on this. So, you know.
There's also that, the complaining.
Yeah.
And Andy's final question. If you could write your own Simpsons episode, what would you make the show about?
Well, I think we have a giant list of spec scripts already, don't we?
We do. This is not a joke. I have a half-completed Simpsons script on my computer right now.
Oh, wow.
I peck away at from time to time whenever I'm still trying to figure out. I have no like auspice that it's ever going to be produced, but I think it's fun to do it. I want to make like just write a fake one even. But I think we literally mentioned it in one of those, hey, that's a Simpsons spec script jokes we've recorded somewhere, in that Marge is a secret quilter and then sells her quilts on like a Etsy equivalent with Lisa's help. So that's what I'm writing. Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. I like it.
I'm trying to it's more the deeper issues that I'm trying to work on, but I'm also writing other stuff in the meantime. But I think we've had other ideas that we've kind of gone, oh, that's an idea.
We've had a ton.
Yeah. But it's a different thing coming up with that idea and then trying to write it down. The writing part is way harder, and making it funny and true to character and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was like getting the story right is not that hard for a Simpsons spec script. It's getting the dialogue between family members correct, because you have to get the feeling of their voices, and that's harder than it seems.
Yeah. Moving on to Aiden. What are some of your hobbies? Matt, what are some of your hobbies?
I read comic books and do this and work, and that's about it. And play Civ 6 on occasion. That's about it.
You play board games. You like board games.
I do, but pretty
You're
much only when you're around.
in a D&D group with me.
That's true, which is 4 hours every 2 weeks, so that's a little bit.
That's a hobby. It's only three.
Yeah,
It's not even four. We don't do 4 hour
you're right. It's
sessions.
3 hours every 2 weeks.
We don't even do 4 hour sessions. Yeah, my hobbies. I podcast mostly. I have three podcasts right now, which one is this one. One is about comic books, and so I read a lot of comic books for that. And the third is just kind of whatever. But that's a lot of my time is podcasting. I write, I play board games, I play D&D, I play video games, I read comics, I read books, just regular books. But there's a lot of, I mean, I consume a lot of stuff, watch TV from time to time, consume a lot of people playing video games and making jokes about them. I'm one of those people who watch people play video games, listen to podcasts.
Weirdos.
Yeah, I know. And what's your favorite episode? Aiden asks. Which I think I've gone on record.
Favorite
Mine
episode.
is Homer's Enemy, I think. I mean, that is ever shifting. It could easily change. I mean, often my opinion about episodes have changed after we've done episodes about them. So I'm not going to necessarily say, I don't say it's going to be number one on our list or anything because it's my favorite. Just like whatever Matt's favorite is not going to be necessarily number one, but it certainly is going to help it. You have an answer, Matt?
I'm probably going to stick with Lisa the Skeptic. I think I said that before. I really enjoy that episode. It's incredibly absurd, but I just enjoy the family in that episode. They all feel very real. Bart kind of gets short shrift, but I feel like Homer and Marge, especially in response to Lisa's actions, are great. It's one of my favorite of all time.
Let's see, Danny from Danny. He gives us a lot of nice compliments. Thank you, Danny, for that. What are y'all's guidelines if you will watch or continue to watch a show on TV? For example, is it the pilot or the first few episodes of a season? For example, I didn't like the Game of Thrones pilot, but there was such a hoopla about this red wedding thing, I gave the show another shot and liked it. While shows like Fear the Walking Dead and Leftovers on HBO gave him a season, then jumped off. So what is your criteria, Matt? How much chances do you give a show?
I'm actually pretty discerning, as it were. I generally give two, maybe three episodes, and when I'm just like, no, this is really stupid. Like, I think I watched four episodes of Lost and thought, this show is not going anywhere. If they change that, maybe I'll bother with it, and it never did. Oh, and Breaking Bad was terrible, just so you guys know.
Oh, man. I've actually not watched Breaking Bad. It's always it was I the started the first season. It was really slow, and I just didn't get it. I know that people always tell me it picks up later. I'm like, well, I don't want to have to like watch 10 hours of TV to get everything. But yeah, I'm the same. Like if I don't like something, I'm not gonna just keep not liking it. I'm gonna stop and put my time elsewhere. There's so much stuff out there right now. Matt mentioned Westworld earlier. I watched that and immediately was hooked and watched all of that. But let's see, Preacher, the television show on AMC, which is
Oh, are
basically,
you watching that?
I watched the first three episodes of that.
Oh, okay.
And then I stopped because I didn't like it. I liked that comic book a bunch, but that TV show did not do it for me, so I stopped. Man, and I'm willing to come back to a show later on. You know, if people tell me, "Oh yeah, the second season is good," and or just start there, and you know, that's all right with me. But I two or three episodes, you know, at least for like the hour long dramas, like that's a lot of time. If you can't hook me in 2 to 3 hours, how many more hours do you need?
Yeah, it's like, especially with hour-long shows these days, 2 to 3 hours of content is more than enough to at least have an interesting premise and show that you have the ability to write good dialogue, which is really all it takes to keep me in a decent show.
Yeah. His other question, let's see, another question. Any stories of playing video games as a kid? For example, when I played a Ready to Rumble on the N64, I would tug on the controller wire before I would lose and the console would fall off the drawer and reset the game. Which is good. That's a good story.
It's a very good story. I actually never finished any game. My first console was a Sega Genesis, and I never once finished any of the games. In fact, I'm pretty sure I never beat the first level or first zone of any game that I ever got for the Sega Genesis. That's how bad I was at video games.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I think that's actually. If I think they there's some statistic that came out not too long ago that said most people don't get past like only 10% of people finish any given game.
Oh wow!
So like very few people make it past the first couple levels of anything. Most people who buy a game don't ever finish it. My earliest memory of a video game was playing Duck Hunt on the NES with the light gun. I was maybe 3 or 4 years old. I was a little tiny kid. Duck Hunt was the only game I could play because I could understand it. Like it's such a simple thing. Like you just shoot the ducks. When I was a little kid, what I would do is literally take the light gun, the old NES light gun, and just put it straight up to the television. It was like literally touching the screen on our old, on our old CRT, and I would just put it right up to the ducks and pull the trigger and kill all the ducks. And I felt like it was a great achievement for my little like 4-year-old self. But that's the earliest thing. I've been playing video games for my whole
very life. Long time.
Yeah. His final question, which I alluded to earlier, could The Simpsons live on without the original voice cast, like the Flintstones or Scooby-Doo?
I don't know. That would be weird at best, and I really don't think so. I feel like the original voice cast is just there what make those characters them. I
so
feel
iconic.
Like no matter how good, yeah, no matter how hard or how good you you do, it's just no. I don't think so.
I think the thing is that those shows still do fine nowadays,
mm-hmm.
you know, for their target audience, but they in their original iteration, neither ran as long as The Simpsons have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it is I don't think either of them ever got the ingrained fan base that The Simpsons have either, like the diehards, but I'm not going to rule it out. Like, say in 30 years from now, The Simpsons have been over and say half the voice cast has passed. Cause you know, like Matt mentioned, they're aging and older. In 30 or 40 years from now, you make another Simpsons, like maybe the young, and you make it a smart show again, or you make it like, or you put a twist on it. And they do that all the time. Like there's that new Muppet show. Which was like more of like an office style dramedy. You know, it's not necessarily like it wasn't a Muppets variety show like it used to be. It was a completely different thing. So I could see them, like, I don't doubt what any of these companies would do if they think they can make some money.
Yeah.
But
that's true. Like you said, it would have to be a different type of show.
Yeah, I think they could put a different twist on it, or I don't know. But I. Could it? Yes. Will it do successful? I have my doubts, but you know, I don't. It's hard to say. Thank you for that. Let's see. Next up from John. This was an interesting question. I really appreciated it. Looking at your current best episode ever list, if you had to move one episode a minimum of 10 places higher or lower, which one would it be and why? I would be interested to see which episodes you and Matt personally think are out of place, but due to compromising, have had to settle in a different spot.
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, probably like the ones that are probably I would probably put higher are the ones that I really have nostalgic feelings for because I watched them a bunch when I was a kid. I think I'm Lisa the Greek, Separate Vocations, and the third one, Homer Defined. Those three I had on a videotape and I watched them all the time even before The Simpsons were syndicated, and I think. Because they have such a place in my heart, like I have such fond memories of watching them when I was a kid, I would maybe move one of them up, probably Homer Defined. But I don't know. I think most of the episodes we have on our list are roughly where I think they should be.
Yeah, that sounds about right. There are a few where I look back and I think, oh, but I really love that episode. But when I think about it more critically, I'm like, yeah, pretty much all of these are in their appropriate place.
Yeah, we do compromise, but it's generally not too much. And sometimes our memories of how great these episodes are conflated with like all kinds of things, like where we were when we first watched them, or our memories of them, or how well they are regarded by the general fans or general fandom or whatever. It's not an easy thing necessarily to parse just at a glance. You know, I trust the method. This weekly thing we do.
You trust the mechanics. You trust the rules.
Yeah, I. If we start doing that, if we start questioning that, it's chaos. We can't fall into chaos. Our last question. This is from Aaron. Big congrats to the show, by the way, for loyal from episode one listener here. Says, well done. Thank you very much, Aaron. His question. Dear Simpsons Show dudes, I swear I went to school with a real-life Martin Prince. When I was Bart's age, as a matter of fact, there was this kid in my school who was very nerdy and intelligent and would blurt out every answer, was a teacher's pet, always wore a collared golf shirt and shorts, had some effeminate gestures at times, the same haircut, and even talked in the same voice, just like him. To this day, when Martin Prince gets quoted around me or for watching The Simpsons and Martin is on screen, I chime in with, I went to elementary school with that kid. So my question is, do you know any Simpsons characters in real life?
Ooh, that's tough. I think I was actually best friends with a Ralph at one point in elementary school because the kid was just so dumb but utterly lovable. He wasn't picked on as much as Ralph, but we were good friends for, I think, a grade and a half. That's pretty much it.
I'm comic book guy. I know many comic book guys. I've met many comic book guys. That's why I kind of don't like comic book guy. Not that he's necessarily a bad character, so to speak, or untrue or whatever, but it's just rings too true for me a lot of the times, where I know a lot of people like that I don't really like their behavior in comics industry. You know, I like comic books a lot and I want everyone to enjoy them, and I don't want gatekeepers blocking anyone from enjoying a comic book. And that is what comic book guy is. He's the know-it-all annoying jerk. I was Lisa to a certain extent. Yeah, I think Matt has that the same. You have the same.
I was a little closer to Martin than I think you were, but yeah, mostly Lisa.
Yeah, I was a Lisa. I was the ugly dude version of Lisa. they don't really have a. I was not prim like Martin Prince. I did have the same haircut for a very long time.
Still have that haircut. It's a great haircut.
No, I have changed my haircut, and that is far for the better. My haircut. I didn't have Martin's haircut, but I did have a same haircut. Trying to think. I don't know. Those teachers, all the teachers in Springfield Elementary feel real to me. Like, I think I've encountered those kinds of teachers throughout my school career. I think that's why they feel so true. My parents feel like my dad's not dumb, and my mom is not Marge, but they are both, you know, they grew up in a similar time period. They were, you know, they always, I think that's one of the great reasons I have so much fondness for the show, is that they, you know, we never had a little baby, but, you know, we had two parents and a brother and a sister. You know, it makes an easy comparison to The Simpsons.
Yeah, considering how often Maggie's just forgotten.
Yeah, Maggie's sort of in the show sometimes. Think of other characters. I don't know. I don't even necessarily knew those characters personally. Like, I didn't know a Krusty or I didn't know a Lionel Hutz or anything. I feel like I grew up in a similarly sized town as Springfield, or near a similarly sized town as Springfield. And a lot of people did, and it feels true. It feels it feels exactly right, you know. And that's, I think, why so many people got attached to the show and love it so much, is because it feels like our lives. It feels like it was telling us the truth.
I would agree. I did remember in middle school, I did have a Nelson Muntz who tried to start a fight with me.
Yeah, everyone has.
Luckily.
Well, did you destroy him, Matt?
Oh, no. Luckily, I believe the fact that I was 2 inches taller than him and probably 20 pounds heavier at a time when I was still around 200 pounds, that dissuaded him to the point where it was like, nah.
Yeah, I've known some Martin Pritzes, not Martin, Nelson Muntzes in my life. Everyone knows a bully or two. Similarly, once I joined the football team and the weightlifting team, suddenly people stopped like trying to target me and like be mean. When I started being stronger and bigger than them, they suddenly stopped being mean to me. I don't know what happened.
It's weird how that happens.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost the moment that I presented a threat to them, they backed down. Oh, high school. But that's it. That's it, Matt.
That's it. Are we out of questions?
We're out of questions.
Oh, my gosh.
That's it.
Well, guys, you know what to do. Send us more.
No, don't send us more questions. At least not.
Well, I mean, for next year.
I will. No, I don't want to be receiving questions a year in advance. You can. I will solicit them if we ever need them again. we'll see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Cereal. That's MixmasterCereal. Please check out my other podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour. It's about comic books. And The Cereal Fanaticist. It's about kind of general nerdy topics. Also, check out our website, SimpsonsShow.com. Links to everything is there. Facebook, Twitter, RSS feed, to our Patreon, where you can hear us ramble on more in our bonus episodes. Matt does not participate in social media, unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer, you will not find him.
That's true. I've decided that in order to relax a little bit, I will be hibernating this winter. So I'm going to order several large pizzas, eat them all, and then sleep for hopefully about a week. So unless you can spell out messages on pepperoni or somehow invade my dreams, good luck.
I was on board with a pizza. But then you started talking about invading your dreams, and I'm no Freddy Krueger.
That would be bad. You could be the Sandman. He invades dreams.
Are we really going to talk about Neil Gaiman?
No, not here.
Okay, good. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.